Welcome to episode 25 of the I Brew My Own Coffee podcast. We're the podcast for people who care about coffee. I'm your host, Brian Sheely, and joining me today, as always, is my good buddy and my co-host, the purveyor of pour-overs and the prosumer of pumpkin spice, Mr. Brian Bikey. What's up, Brian?
Hey, you know, not too much. I'm just finishing up a pumpkin spice latte, and as soon as we get done recording, I'm about to go hit up a new Starbucks in town and go see what their pumpkin spice latte is all about.
Oh, yeah. It's made with real pumpkin.
No way.
It's probably better than your lunch, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, so I went out to the closest Burger King to us, which is just a couple miles away, which is actually still too far. And I got there, and I wanted to try this Halloween Whopper. If anyone has tried the Halloween Whopper, let us know. But so I tried to get it. Oh, we don't have that. You don't have that? We don't have the bun.
They don't have the bun. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. And not only is it the thing, but we're approaching the middle of the month, and right. Halloween's at the end. I'm like, man, you might want to tell your boss you're about to miss out on your window of opportunity here if you don't have the bun for the Halloween Whopper. So I don't even want to eat Burger King on a regular basis. So I was with my coworker Dave, so I had to get something. So I got a regular Whopper meal, but ultimately disappointing.
That's too sad. You know, it was really funny. You actually posted a photo of some fancy black, what were they, like Earl Grey?
Yeah, the Earl Grey French macaroons
mm-hmm. or whatever. And that's the first thing that popped into my head was the black Whopper.
Oh, those are those are actually just mini. They're the new Burger King mini Halloween Whoppers, the Whopper sliders. It's a whole box of them.
There you go.
It's great.
So we're going to start off this episode, as we always do, by talking about some of the coffees that we've been brewing over the last couple of weeks. We'll start with you, Brian. What you brewing?
Okay, I got in recently a coffee from Nicaragua. It's Reina del Café from Steadfast Coffee. So this is super new stuff. Steadfast Coffee is out of Nashville. They opened a couple months ago. I think they were using Slate Coffee, and they just started their own roasting operation. And I know some of the guys that are there, and so I've been interested to see what they're up to, and I got some of their coffees in. I brewed up their Nicaragua, and I don't often get to drink coffees from Nicaragua. I have had some, though, recently, and they've been pretty good. You know, I don't know that I knew what to expect, or the ones I've had before have not left a good impression, but this one, man, it was killer. So it was sweet-toned. Like just throughout pretty much the whole cup, kind of like I would say an El Salvador coffee would be. So it just has just a sweetness to it where you might think of honey or caramel or something like milk chocolate, you know, throughout. It just kind of carries that presence of sweetness. But it was really clean. It was lightly fruitied, and it was just easy to drink from the beginning to end. And there was little bits as it cooled that kind of just continued to be more sweet or continued to show you a different side of it. And it wasn't super complex, like maybe an Ethiopian washed coffee would be described as or anything. It was just a solid coffee, but just had a lot of good stuff in it. So I'm really, really, really anxious to keep bringing that up.
What did you brew it on?
I did on a V60. At the office, I ran out of the Chemex filters that I had brought in. So at the office, I brew on the Wilfa or the Chemex or V60, or I have my Kalita and I have my AeroPress, but I wanted to jump straight in. And the last couple of Kalitas I've brewed, I haven't been too happy with here. So I went just right for the V60, and it was dynamite. It was really good.
Steadfast was somebody that was a roaster that I got turned on to like almost a week ago. Not super long. I think I was cruising Twitter and saw some references to them. So I went and checked them out, and I went to their website, and obviously they didn't have any of their coffees available yet. They actually just, we're recording today on Wednesday. They just launched their online store this morning, actually.
Yep, today.
Which is pretty cool. So I went off and bought a couple bags as well. I'm kind of excited about that.
I don't think you'll be disappointed. I've had only two of them so far, but they're really nice.
So I got in the Arty naturally processed Ethiopian from Huckleberry in my Mistabox subscription. And it's so good. I don't know. I'm a big fan of natural process coffees in general, and especially, you know, Ethiopia and from roasters that are doing such great work like Huckleberry. So it had a pretty high bar when I started cracking into it that I was expecting from it, and it really just delivered all the way across. Super fruity, really sweet. I brewed it on the Kalita 185, also on the Chemex. I think so far that my favorite brew of it was on the Chemex. Brewed it up for the folks in my office, and people were really enjoying it last week on Friday. It's got all the stuff that you would expect from a naturally processed Ethiopian coffee. It's the blueberry and that strawberry fruitiness are there. There's a really nice chocolatey, kind of creamy body to it. And I was definitely getting some hints of tropical notes as it sort of cooled and finished. Definitely a solid, really explosive, you know, naturally processed Ethiopian. And I enjoyed it so much that it was sort of as, I think you had the RD from
Synergos,
yeah. And I didn't get a chance to try that one. So I took your lead and threw it in as espresso.
Right.
And man, it's also just a fruit bomb of an espresso as well.
I feel like I don't get Huckleberry very often. And I've been a little mixed on my stuff from them, but when you posted about the Arty, I haven't had a lot of Arty this year, but I know I like it. And then hearing that you liked it and that you liked it on espresso, and then after having the Synergos on espresso, I was like, oh, I kind of want some more of it. Because I thought it was, at least that Synergos was just killer. It's killer as espresso.
We had a lot of interesting listener feedback from, well, not only last episode when we started a series that we're going to get back into about finding a balance with coffee, but a lot of interesting feedback from that episode. But we've also been getting a lot of emails and people talking to us on social media. So I thought just maybe briefly here, we're gonna go through a list of a couple folks that we want to shout out to and kind of circle back with here. Before we get into episode 25 here too deep.
Yeah, Tim, he's originally from Australia. He sent us an email and left us a really kind of funny story about his experience with coffee. So I want to apologize. Sorry, Tim, that all American coffees suck, that they're garbage. But that's actually all in humor. The context of the email was really funny about him coming over. And you know, over in Australia, they I guess a lot of their machines are... he was on a K-cup machine and he said it was just rubbish. And but apparently like their machines over there, like their little machines they'd have would be espresso machines, not like a filter or like a drip kind of coffee. And again, I'm not going to go into all of that, but thanks for your email. That story was really funny. And then another guy named Tim sent us an email, and that was related to kind of dark roasted coffee.
This was a really interesting email to me, by the way. I found it to be really fascinating.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And so I wanted to kind of say to Tim that we read the email, and I've reached out to Mark, Coffee Geek. And what we would like to do is try and make a resource for you or put together an episode or something that kind of can kind of relate to you. He's a dark roast drinker, and it's not necessarily about finding the dark roast as much as it is, you know, he's been in coffee for a long time. Like he is by all intents and purposes like a coffee geek, but yet he'll go to the shops around here, and because he would prefer, you know, a full developed coffee, he gets shunned in a lot of places, which he finds, you know, interesting because he has, you know, he is kind of on the same level. So, you know, he actually appreciates the podcast. So we're appreciative that he actually gets stuff out of this podcast, because it made me kind of think, oh man, what kind of stuff do we talk about? And even Alex, you know, Alex talked about people's specific coffee adventures a lot. Like he sat down with people and talked about their story, and that's relatable to a lot of people too. But even, you know, as we've been taking over and getting into stuff, you know, what kind of things, and are they it's relatable on all levels of coffee drinker, right? And that we would like to make sure that we have something that is So we appreciate the fact that he enjoys this podcast, and we want to, you know, try and curate something specifically that would be helpful to that. Obviously, we can't go to every web store. We can't go to every local store and try and change their perspective. But we've already got a lot of cool roasters giving us, you know, lists of their coffees that they roast specifically for a coffee drinker like you. Again, I don't know if, you know, finding a coffee specifically is something that will help you, but we're trying to do that. And then again, maybe just try and address that on a podcast a later time. So again, you know, thanks for your email. Christopher is actually been teaching his fourth grade, you know, how to brew coffee and in the math behind it, the science and stuff behind it, which is really interesting. I've actually seen this discussion by just a couple of people recently. And so we'll be getting back with you soon. That sounds like a really interesting opportunity that we might be able to have to fit in. In terms of social media, Ryan Payne on Twitter, I thought this is really kind of interesting. It ties into the show. He had said he's been trying to experiment more with roasters and brew methods, and he was asking what variables do you keep track of and how do you document them. I sent him a response, but I mentioned that so I can reference it later in the show, because you and I both have a method of how we write down variables, and it's interesting that the time that we take to put in some of these details when, you know, in the end it's just coffee, right?
Right.
So we'll come back to that. But then Eric Parkin, he is Clearview Coffee on Instagram, and he had a great post kind of after the first episode that we did in this series about finding balance. And, you know, he kind of went into some stuff about finding balance. This was, I think, last Friday. Really beautiful post, and just kind of talked about some stuff and like kind of what we can get caught up in. And so it was really pertaining to like the series that we're talking about. But one of the quotes in that was talking about always asking ourselves if what we are about to do lines up with who we want to be. And just kind of talking about, you know, whether, you know, our personality or what we're saying to somebody or in terms of what we're doing in regarding to brewing coffee or the rituals or just how we show or how we want ourselves to be perceived, maybe via social media and stuff like that, and then who we actually want to be. So those last two specifically, I think, were really interesting comments coming out of this series, and kind of especially in this series. Because so the topic that is across these last episode and the next two is it's not just coffee. It's about how you approach it and balance it with the rest of your life, no matter if you're a beginner, enthusiast, or professional. So the first part last week, we talked about finding balance as a beginning brewer. And tonight we are talking, well, today we are talking about the balance for the coffee enthusiast. So
that's you and me.
That's us. So keeping the pursuit of the latest and greatest in check and remembering that simple enjoyment of coffee. A lot of stuff to chew on in regards to this, because there's a wide range that can be coined a coffee enthusiast, right?
Most every coffee enthusiast has, you know, been a beginning brewer at some point. And so maybe I think it'd be useful to talk just briefly about how do you know that you are a coffee enthusiast? Like, what is that line between being a beginning brewer, somebody who, like we talked about in the last episode, you know, has dedicated a little bit more time than what they had previously to brewing coffee, maybe in the morning or maybe in the afternoon, somebody who might be looking at buying a little bit better equipment, or even just going out and going to their local roaster or even local coffee shop and just making some incrementally better choices about what kind of coffee that they're actually buying and drinking and brewing at home. How do you know that you have transitioned from that point as being a beginning brewer to being a coffee enthusiast? How did you know, Brian? We've not really gotten into this too deep, but like, how did you know, or did you ever really know, that you transitioned from that sort of beginning brewer mindset to more of an enthusiast?
Yeah. One of the things we mentioned on last show was just kind of that everybody, you know, started as a beginner. And I think in that also, there comes a time where you feel a little bit more confident in how you're brewing, or maybe your flavor preference or any of that stuff. So I think there comes a switch where you gain a little bit more confidence. You're not always checking somebody's recipe, or you're not always having to get suggestions from somebody about how to make coffee, or you just find yourself making coffee more often. If you get a tweet from Ryan Payne on Twitter asking what variables you keep track of and how you document it, and you can respond to him, I think that's a clear sign that you know that you're an enthusiast.
Yeah, and you started when you were kind of like in the early stages,
right.
You know, with your journaling and with, you know, keeping track right. of all these coffees, and then you began abandoning coffee sort of as an extension of that, just
right.
as like an easy way to keep your thoughts on particular coffees available and at hand.
So abandoning coffee did, and I can see the change going back and looking at the posts that I had on there. So it very much started in a beginning state where, again, I mentioned it last time, but Jamie from the Coffee Adventures and Drew mm-hmm. from Corner of the Cafe, I would read what they had to say, and I would very much enjoy hearing the way that they described coffee. So in that, I started writing on my own and trying to get my own experiences out. And I did that as a beginner, but there came a point where I was more confident in my understanding of a cup profile. And I've seen the same thing in you. I don't know if you're going to say this or not, but you and I came from very interesting kind of starts. You're the photo guy. And yeah. when we first started, you wouldn't talk about an experience with a cup. And I thought you had mentioned to me too that you just didn't know how to do that. You didn't know how to yeah. express it. And it's interesting. I really like our two dynamics because I'm not a photo guy. I always like the idea of a nicely composed photo. And I think that's something I wanted in Abandoned Coffee kind of from the beginning, is just maybe a nice photo that goes along with the description, a nice photo of a bag that goes along with the description that could right. possibly tell a story. But I think I had a little bit more ease in at least describing for myself.
Sure.
My experience with a cup. So we've actually not switched roles, but we've grown the opposite direction. I've seen you blossom and be able to describe a cup, you know, more eloquently, and my photos still suck. So
I love your photos, man. Whatever. They're some of my favorites.
No, but I think it's cool. I think I can point that out. I can pinpoint it in you. And then I also, like I said, some of my early writings, and it's not that one is better than the other, but it was very short. This was a sure. very satisfying cup. It was smooth. It was lightly fruitied. And then as, you know, I kind of explored and started to understand acidity or sweetness or certain fruit flavors a little bit more, I started to become a little bit more verbose for the negative or positive, however you see it. But again,
it sounds kind of like what you're saying, you know, from both of our experiences and maybe for the listeners as well. Like, maybe you can define that you're a coffee enthusiast when you start to develop a real point of view,
right?
Like a real perspective from where you're coming to coffee from. If, you know, you're able to describe it in some way in your journal, or you're keeping track of it in maybe a spreadsheet or whatever. Like, if you're able to mindfully think about the experience that you're having with coffee and you want to somehow keep that, you know, keep that in place for record, that's probably a good indication that you're an enthusiast.
I even think if you're actively seeking out new coffees and new roasters for yeah. for whatever reason it is, if you sure. are actively like out and seeking stuff, I think that you're transitioning over, or you're in the coffee enthusiast section. You know, you're not just taking a suggestion, or like you're actively just feeling out what's yeah. out there.
And, you know, obviously, I love this quote from somebody who I can't remember, but how do you know if you're an entrepreneur that the bio on your Instagram says that you're an entrepreneur?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you know if you're a coffee enthusiast? The bio on your Instagram probably says that you're a coffee enthusiast.
Right.
And that's a good telltale sign.
I feel like it's a good, I mean, with an entrepreneur, I think it's a statement. With a coffee enthusiast, I think it's a preface. It's like, you might need to stay back a little bit. It's going to get kind of nerdy real quick.
But if you have a blog, or, you know, if you are interested in starting up a podcast, or if you've got an Instagram feed, or even like a Twitter presence or whatever, if you find yourself publicly discussing coffee in some form or fashion
to yes, coffee in your life,
then you're definitely in this same boat. You're a coffee enthusiast. Coffee is your hobby. It's something that you spend a lot of time with. You know, an enthusiast really at heart, they're just they're still learning like a beginner learns, but there's a certain larger chunk of the pie that they spend in their time and attention with coffee.
Right.
So maybe that's the big piece here is, you know, you're a coffee enthusiast when a much larger piece of your day and your time is actually spent thinking about coffee and exploring it in some ways.
Right, because all the things that we mentioned, they can kind of they balance that line between beginner and enthusiast. But I think the enthusiast, they've figured out the time thing, like of when to brew coffee or how often or just making the time for it. And now they're about experiencing it. And, you know, to what degree have they dove in, you know, to experience it and to what level?
So the whole point of this series of episodes is really for us to kind of talk about how we develop a relationship with coffee. Like, how much time do you spend with coffee? Are you spending too much time? Do you need to spend more time? What's the role of coffee really in your life, whether you're a beginner or an enthusiast or even a professional? But there are all along the way, there are problems that you face. And beginning brewers face problems. Enthusiasts definitely face problems. And that's really the whole thrust of this episode here. And I think the big conversation that got us even talking about this in the first place is that we can sometimes, as coffee enthusiasts, spend too much time focusing on coffee,
right?
Thinking about coffee, analyzing coffee,
talking about coffee, having a podcast about coffee.
You know, we might just take too much time, and maybe give it more attention than we actually should. And that might be shocking to some of our listeners to hear two raging coffee enthusiasts talk about how
We're not telling you to turn off the podcast because you're what do we do? Sorry, guys.
Whoops.
Good night.
Good night. See you later.
No, but yeah, there's certain time that I think needs to be allocated appropriately or balanced. I think, you know, like we said in the main point.
Along with that, maybe you spend too much time on coffee. Maybe a coffee enthusiast struggles with spending too much money on coffee.
Right.
And that really is, I mean, there is a whole financial piece to this that we don't really talk about very often, but I think serves probably as one of the most important things we need to think about. How much money are we actually spending on coffee?
Right. And I think a lot of places can capitalize on that because we understand that coffee is seasonal. And a lot of places have limited offerings, right? And so if the marketing is good, then there's a lot of temptation there. Oh, my gosh, I can't wait too long, though. I got my wish list. Like, right. I got to get everything on this wish list, and I can't let something fall off.
Maybe you spend a lot of time brewing coffee and exploring different methods and tinkering with all kinds of different variables. We're going to spend a whole episode one of these days on just talking about all the different variables in coffee. But maybe you spend so much time tweaking the variables of your coffee brewing, or you spend so much time investigating little things here and there and what this change impacts the brew in that way. And maybe you just find yourself losing focus on the basics.
It's not even that's not important, but if you did something and you weren't sure if you liked it and you immediately want to do it again and change something else, or you immediately, and there's nothing, again, inherently wrong with doing that if you have balance the time or you have the time for it. But if you're trying to run out the door in the morning to get to work or something, you're like, oh, I didn't do this exactly right. I could probably be late to do another.
And becoming frustrated too. Just, you know, maybe you've gotten yourself so wrapped around the axle, so to speak, that you don't actually have, maybe you don't have a solid understanding of really just, let's get back to basics here. Let's just brew a cup of coffee.
And enjoy it.
Enjoy it, right. That's the other piece. You know, maybe one of the problems that a coffee enthusiast might face is just losing that basic sense of enjoyment. Maybe you get so stuck in, well, you got to take a photo of it, or maybe you got to get stuck so much in, like, you know, this brew method or that brew method, or writing it down in your journal or whatever you're doing, that you just forget to kind of stop and say, let me enjoy this cup. And maybe that's a problem that you face as a coffee enthusiast.
Right. I think if it's okay for me to interject with something like personal for me, you know, I've got young kids at home now too, and Kristen. And so if I do want to, you know, take a photo of a coffee, there'll be times where I'll do that either in the morning when I have good morning light, or I'll do it in the evening right as soon as I get home from work, when I have good light before I lose it. So I have just two windows of opportunity sometimes where I'll take those. And in doing that, though, I'm either kind of aggravated, I don't want to be bothered, or, you know, sometimes I'm missing out on just spending time, you know, with family by rushing to do that, or I want to get a brew in, you know, before we rush out to the zoo or something like that, right. You know, just to take with me. And so I think this is, there might be people who just, they cannot relate, and they're like, whoa, that guy is just way too far. But I think there are people who, to some degree, they can relate with things like this, where, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. That's why I brought up the whole, you know, podcast idea to you, is I think there's something really important about just understanding where the place of this is within your own life. You know, and how much time you want to burn on something like that. It's not to say it's not worth it. Like, coffee's awesome. Like, there's, and the fact that there's just such a rabbit hole you can get into, and there's some really awesome results and people and things that you can discover. But, you know, real life is real life still.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would have had this perspective had I not been married and had a daughter. And, you know, I think if you're a lone wolf, like if you're off, you know, without a family to really focus on, or without a really big set of responsibilities that you have, I mean, more power to you. Spend as much time as you want playing with coffee all day long. And, you know, it might not be as relatable, this discussion to you about some of the other more important things that you could be doing in your life. But I mean, you know, it's just coffee at the end of the day, and there are more important things to be doing. And sort of, I think, moving into some of the practical tips about how to encourage and foster sort of a balanced relationship with coffee for coffee enthusiasts, really just evaluate, like, what is it in your life that you actually find to be important? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it your, or is it some of your other hobbies? You know, your health, whatever it might be, fit coffee into that where it makes sense. And for me, I find myself getting into that temptation a lot of spending too much time with it. And we can talk about in just a bit here some of the reasons for that. But there are so many opportunities where I found myself having to be like, okay, I'm not going to spend this time writing in my spreadsheet about all the coffees that I have right now. I'm just going to, you know, play on the floor with my kid.
Right.
And, you know, to give coffee too much importance or too much priority is probably as dangerous or as bad as just giving it no priority at all, if you're interested in a healthy, balanced relationship with coffee. So the pendulum swinging both ways is probably not good. So finding that middle point of like, where in the day can I put coffee that it makes sense? So I don't know, why can coffee be such a time suck? Like, why do we spend so much time with coffee? Why has it become such a big, giant part of our day?
I think part of that could just be, you know, if you're one to see coffee for needing to be consumed in a certain period of time, right? So it's perishable, and some people, like, they have a certain time frame of when they want to consume it for its peak flavor, right?
Right.
I'm one who is fine to kind of let it open and see, you know, where it goes. But if you have more than one coffee in at a time, maybe you have two, three coffees in at a time, now you might have a clock ticking, and you're thinking, oh God, how am I gonna get it? I gotta fit in a coffee brew, or else this coffee's gonna go stale.
Right.
You know, and I paid money to get this in, or somebody wants to know what I think about this. You know, where am I going to fit this in the time frame with, you know, anyway.
Yeah, if you bought a bag of coffee and it just never went bad, you know, if it never got stale at some point or whatever, then it wouldn't be as much of a push to get it brewed up and try it. I mean, this is a discussion for coffee enthusiasts. Like, you don't just have one bag of coffee in the house. I mean, to be honest, if you're a coffee enthusiast, you probably have 3, 4, 10 bags of coffee sitting around.
10 bags
maybe
of
more
coffee,
than that.
Gee whiz.
I mean, it happens. People, you know, people end up acquiring a lot of coffee when they get into this, you know, enthusiasm, this sort of hobby, you know, of coffee.
Now, this person's got this Ethiopian, that sounds good, and this Colombia sounds good, and this one they're only roasting for this weekend, so.
Yeah, and so you end up, you wind
up
with all this
all
coffee,
that.
And you have to juggle it all, and that can be really time intensive, and in a way, kind of stressful, like that you almost feel like you have some responsibility to pay attention to the coffee. And you know, maybe the tip is here, like if you find yourself getting into this mindset of like having to have 10, 15, you know, some crazy number of coffees in your house at any given time, like maybe it's time to just back that whole expectation off and just focus on one coffee or focus on two or three coffees, even though everyone else is posting stuff about every single coffee in the whole world that they're ever trying and everything else. Like maybe focusing on one, two, or three coffees at any given time would help you to be a little bit less, I don't know, stressed out or to have to feel like you have to spend that much time on it.
Right. And I hope this also doesn't come across as like us suggesting that this is the definition of a coffee enthusiast. There are people who can be super hyped and super enthusiastic about coffee, and some of this stuff doesn't apply to them. And that's fine. I think people who don't have that issue are better off in their balance. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's awesome. I think what we're getting here is not necessarily to say any certain thing about what defines a coffee enthusiast as much as how to balance. And so some of these things that we're talking about are pretty extreme and ways to tame it if it's something that you're struggling with. So again, I just wanted to put that back out there because I was hearing that. I'm like, 10 coffees. Man, there are people listening probably like, gosh dang, I never, ever, ever have 10 coffees. And I'm only ever on one or two coffees and just, you know, I'm hitting on the Chemex, maybe the Clita, and it's just good. It's just good. It's just good. Well, that's awesome. You know, you've gotten yourself a good balance. You've gotten a good grasp on brewers that you like and a ratio that you like, and it's getting good results. And that's awesome because that means there's less time that you're wasting or chasing or spending on, you know, on coffee that could be on something else or on a different coffee or something.
And maybe like me, like you started to say there, maybe you only have, you know, two or three coffees in the house. You're a coffee enthusiast. Maybe you found yourself getting into that trap of like trying to brew it on every different possible brew method to explore it in every possible way. You know, maybe that's the time to start paring it back down and maybe, you know, spending a lot less time and energy by enjoying a coffee the way you found to enjoy it and then just continue drinking it, you know, while you have the opportunity.
I don't know if you saw this going around. I saw it a couple of people post this on, I think, Facebook this last week, but it was this article about embracing the anti-hustle. I don't know if you saw this, but we're going to link it in the show notes. And there's it's really interesting. It's a thing about balance, right? In the hustle and bustle of the day. So it's not necessarily it's not about coffee. It's just about balance things and busyness with, you know, clarity. And one of the quotes in there says, "But the more we glorify the hustle, the more we feed the beast of busy. And the more we praise the pursuit of personal goals above all else. Straight A's start to trump simple acts of kindness. Promotions take precedence over poetry, and we aspire to get our names in lights instead of in other people's hearts." I think it applies to kind of what we're talking about because I think there's importance. And later in the article, too, it talks about, you know, taking a break. I think that there's a time where as a tip to maybe not to brew coffee, you know, just to go to a shop and just sit there and enjoy something made by someone else because you don't have to worry about the details. You don't have to worry about how it was brewed or, you know, you don't even have to worry about taking notes. You go with somebody, have a conversation, just enjoy the coffee. I don't know if this is the same with you, but one of the things that I've enjoyed that I've tried to incorporate lately has been brewing coffee at work more, whether it be on the Wilfa or like a big Chemex that I'm splitting with the coworkers because I make that and then I'm more likely going back to my desk to work over that cup of coffee. And I find that these over the last couple weeks or months have been more satisfying to me. I'm not seeking for anything specific. Another one of the downfalls that I think, you know, happens with being a coffee enthusiast is then, you know, kind of moving into, this is what I know. You know, this is, I got to have my say in this, you know, this from all that I've put together, all my research and my own brew methods, like this is what I think. And I think that there's a point where you need to develop your own voice that's, you know, that's just your own.
Yeah. And developing that voice, I think, is really important. When you talk about like getting started and you're transitioning into really becoming more comfortable about your understanding, your relationship with coffee, the preferences that you have, being able to explain that, talk about that in some meaningful way without feeling some responsibility, like what you feel or how you approach coffee is bad in some way. Cause that's kind of a tendency in maybe the community of coffee enthusiasts to feel like your opinion about coffee or your opinion about the way that coffee should be brewed or not brewed or how it, you know, whether you add milk to it or whether you don't, or whether you put sugar in it or whether you don't, or whatever it is, light roasted versus dark roasted. Like if you have a relationship with coffee, you know what you like, you know, be willing to express that without feeling like, you know, you're going to be judged by it, or without feeling like there's something negative about what you actually feel. I mean, maybe just making it so that you're comfortable with your relationship with coffee and what you like and what your preferences are.
Yeah, and that's something that I think can be tricky too, because as you talk with other coffee enthusiasts, yeah, if you were to say, I find this actually in regards to espresso a lot online. So if I've kind of refrained from posting any sort of parameter about espresso, regardless of it turning out bad or turning out good, because people are very, very opinionated on what is the parameter of a proper espresso. Right. And that's not to say there is or isn't truth to that. It's just to say, if I pulled something in my house and it tasted good, it's going to taste good. It that's the truth. To me, it tastes good. Or if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I've seen coffees all across the board. You know, I have seen some that if you're pulling a really tight ristretto, it tastes better than if you don't. And there's some that they run really long, and that might be where they taste better. And all coffees are different. But getting back to the point, it's very tricky, probably in all walks with other coffee enthusiasts, to, you know, have someone say, no, what you're doing is wrong. So I would encourage anybody to, again, what I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I kind of knew I was a coffee enthusiast because I had a little bit more security in what I was doing. So I'm going to encourage that again. You know, coffee enthusiasts, as they have conversations with other coffee enthusiasts, will probably be challenged on what they're doing. And there are times where you can open yourself up to opinion, to change, to tweaking parameters that you have, things if they're not working, or maybe just to have an open mind and try something else. And maybe you'll find your new favorite thing. But at the same time, If what you're doing is working for your palate too, you also don't have to, you know, sit back and let someone else tell you that what you're doing is wrong.
There's a certain level of comfort that you'll develop as a coffee enthusiast with what you do and how you do it. And, you know, being comfortable enough in what you're doing and why to know that you do enjoy it or that you don't, but also being humble enough to look around and see the experiences that other people are having. And know, like, when is the right time to reach out to somebody and say, you know, you might have a better experience with your coffee brewing if you change this or you change that. You know, is there ever a time where you reach out to somebody and you offer practical advice? Hopefully there would never be a time if you had a really balanced relationship with coffee and the coffee community at large, that you'd ever go out and attempt to be really bitter and judgmental, you know, towards somebody about what they're doing.
And I'm sure there's times where I come off like that, but the way I try to come by inquiring, you know, right. And just, is that working for you and whatever, because there's some things that just generally intrigue me about what some people do. But at the same time, I know that I don't know everything. While there might be a set of guidelines that might consistently produce really good results, right. There are some things that are just completely shocking to me in terms of playing with ratios and temperatures and whatever. I mean, that's the reason why we have brewing competitions a lot of times, right? So the AeroPress specifically, because there's such, I feel like there's such a wide amount of ways you can brew on that. Inverted, not inverted, short pulse, not stirring, not stirring, metal filter, whatever filter, long time, short times, diluting water after, before, you know, there's so much you could do in terms of brewing that, again, I can understand where some mindsets, and even mine a lot of times, I try and look at a window where things might most consistently come up to, like, desired tasting results, but I've seen examples, so I try and never just set solid in the fact that things can't happen outside of that realm. And we've drifted a little bit off of the main topic in terms of, but I mean, I think what we are kind of hitting there is about developing a voice uniquely your own, maybe being confident in that. And then also a kind of something that we kind of summed up in so many words was, you know, to drink what you like, even if, you know, it goes against the grain, or even if no one's watching, even if you're not posting about it, if you're not saying anything about it.
We haven't really talked a whole lot about it, the connection, but a coffee enthusiast, because they're enthusiastic about it, is going to talk about coffee in a public forums in some way, for the most part. You know, it's sometimes is hard to be a, consider yourself a real coffee enthusiast if you never get out there and publicly talk about how you are enthusiastic about coffee. And one of the huge ways of doing that is Instagram or Twitter, or, you know, if you have a blog or some other avenue of that. Like, sometimes you can drink a coffee without really ever having to actually talk about it,
right?
And enjoy it still, and enjoy the experience of it. I had some really great coffees recently that I enjoyed a whole lot, that I actually went out and purchased and made a big investment in. And I haven't really talked a whole lot about them because I've enjoyed drinking them so much in my own personal, you know, kitchen and everything else at home. I haven't really felt the need to, like,
your own personal kitchen.
My own personal kitchen.
The desire of all Americans have their own personal kitchen.
But, you know, sometimes
does your wife
enjoy...
have her own kitchen too?
She does. We have separate kitchens.
And your daughter, Fussy Coffee.
Oh, she does actually have, she has multiple kitchens, one in her bedroom too. But but there's the, also, what do you think? Do you feel sometimes this, like, keeping up with the Joneses mentality with beans and brewing devices and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you look and you see somebody's Instagram feed, or you see something on Twitter, and it just pulls at you to have to go out there and make that same purchase?
Yeah. I mean, I had kind of a while back had got a lot of brewers. I don't get a whole lot new, but I have things that are intriguing to me. But at the same time, man, the more time I've spent brewing, the more it's been good, though. I think part of the balance, it's like, for me, one of the best parts about finding the balance is in keeping my spreadsheet or whatever that can seem like super nerdy and super technical. But at the same time, what that has allowed me to do is to see what brewers are the most consistent for me. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, I might brew on the Chemex and the V60 or the Chemex and the Kalita or Gino, and that's it. You know, right. For any coffee, I'm just bouncing between one or two devices. And it's funny, when I used to blog, I know that we've mentioned him before on the show too, but this guy, Josh, I remember one time he read one of the reviews, and he was like, or one of the write-ups, excuse me. And he said, oh, you only brewed it on two devices? Or it might have been, you only brewed it on three devices? He's like, man, you lose time, or I forget exactly what he said, but I was kind of like, ouch. But then, you know, again, here I am, and I know that these are tried and true for me and for how I brew. So it doesn't waste time anymore. You know, if I'm going to leave the house, if I'm at work and I want to get it done, then I know how to brew it, and I can get it done, and I get back on my desk and I'm working. And I found that to be an incredible balance because I took the time to set that up to see. So, I used to do that a lot.
Speaking specifically about brew methods and things, I found the same usefulness in tracking the coffees that I track. And every time I brew coffee, I write it down in my spreadsheet. And then that gives me a good sense of, like, okay, well, I'm brewing most of my coffees on the Chemex, or I'm brewing most of my coffees on the V60. Those are my two methods of choice, by far. The Chemex and the V60 are the ones that I use more often than anything else. Obviously, I do get into the Kalitas somewhat regularly. To be honest, I haven't even touched my AeroPress since I did like last week, in a very long time. And, you know, does that mean I'm not a coffee enthusiast anymore? I think it just means that I've becoming settled in what I enjoy and what I am comfortable with and what I would want to spend my time with. With brew methods, I think that's one thing. But with coffee specifically, like, you know, this company comes out with this new coffee and that company comes out with this other new coffee. And then there's this brand new company that just came out. I feel like there's a real tendency to get consumed, I guess, by having to go out and buy or, you know, become envious of what all the other coffees that people are getting out there. You know I get a lot of coffees and I talk about a lot of coffees, but that doesn't mean that everybody needs to do that. And that doesn't mean that everyone needs to aspire to that in some way. And to be frank, honestly, like if you look through my feed and you see on Instagram how many coffees that I get in, I get a lot of coffees. I do brew most of that for the people in my office. But if it was just left to me, I mean, honestly, I think I would be just fine having a bag a week or two bags a week, you know, something that I can focus more time and spend more time with. Because there's a danger the other way. Like you get all these coffees in, you're trying all these coffees, but you don't really get to know any of them really well. And that might be, you know, a side of it that people who try to go out and buy all these coffees and don't see, that you're just not getting a chance to spend as much time with one particular coffee when you're getting so many in.
It's interesting that you bring that up, though. You know, I've been kind of on the decline of getting coffees in, and part of that is just because, you know, financially, you know, realizing that's a big aspect that we don't have the budget for right now. So I've tamed down on that. And then honestly, this particular thing is something that we'll end up talking about next time too. But for as much as it's a time saver to say, oh man, the Chemex, it's consistently good, I'm going to keep doing that, I feel like sometimes, not necessarily a danger, but you also don't want to get into a place where you're not experimenting. I think that there's something that's really nice about constantly kind of trying to evolve, change, make something better. So I think that there's sometimes you might want to watch stalling out. So, you know, doing just a Kalita, doing just a Chemex, for as much as if it's a time saver, there's also the reminder in the back of my head saying, you need to go back to this. You need to change something up. You need to do that. And so lately, that's what I've been able to do. I've just been kind of a little bit more quiet, just kind of enjoying a couple of coffees, some coffees as they've been aging, and just getting into some other various playing around with things just occasionally and trying not to force brewing too much. It's been kind of nice.
And I think what we're saying in this whole thing is if you're a coffee enthusiast and you're interested in trying a lot of different coffees from a lot of different regions, trying a lot of different brew methods, experimenting, writing in your journal, keeping all these notes, I think these are all really good things. Right? All of these things are really positive for your coffee journey and for your personal growth with coffee. The encouragement, I think, in this whole episode really, though, is just to keep all of that in balance. Like there is a time and a place in which you should probably spend a little bit more time tinkering with a coffee or, you know, tinkering with a new brew method. There's also a time and the place where that's probably not going to benefit you as much as you might think it does.
Right.
So just finding the balance and figuring out where to put all of those activities into the other activities that you have, you know, in your day-to-day life.
Right. So we will ask, you know, for this week on hashtag IBMOC talk, this is our talk back where we throw this out for social media. So I'm going to ask, you know, does this describe you? Are you in this zone? And maybe even more specifically, are you in the zone where you're coming into some of these challenges? You know, does some of this stuff resonate to you? So what, you know, what issues do you see as a coffee enthusiast within your own particular life? Like, again, you know, I talked about a little bit of, you know, personal stuff here too. So, I mean, feel free to kind of open up.
And I think, if you've got a problem with a lot of this stuff, or if you've had issues maybe finding this kind of balance and you've been able to, you know, solve it or at least mitigate it in some way, like, we'd love to hear, you know, your experience and how you've actually, and what tips you might have to kind of finding a balance with coffee, also being somebody who's enthusiastic about it.
And then, you know, as we go into next episode, you know, what questions do you have or problems do you see that might come into play for the coffee professional? What kind of tips do you see as overcoming that? So again, interact with us online, and you know, that's going to be basically about it for this episode.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in, and as Brian already mentioned, we're on Instagram, I Brew My Own Coffee. We're on Twitter at Brew My Own Coffee. You can send us an email on our website at ibrewmyowncoffee.com. Click the contact us link at the top of the page. Go review us on iTunes if you haven't already. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We will see you guys on the next episode.
So long, everybody.
Take it easy.